Again, together we're going to look in the Word of God to attempt to discover truth. I say attempt because we know that only as God opens our eyes will we find a truth. And God expects us to be very diligently in our search for truth in the Bible. We are to very carefully examine Scripture with Scripture. And then when we do come to truth, we do find harmony. We do find that there is a whole lot of Scriptures that begin to tie together, and we know we have found truth. Now, we've been going through Jeremiah, and we're down to Jeremiah chapter 17. And in Jeremiah 17, suddenly there's been a change in the atmosphere, a change in the subject, because we got down to Jeremiah 17, verse 21. Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem, neither carry a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do ye any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers. And this particular command is a very, very intriguing and important and significant command, because look at verse 27. But if ye will not hearken to me to hallow the Sabbath a day, and not to bear a burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. Somehow this whole piece of information regarding the Sabbath day has enormous significance, because a violation by carrying a burden into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day will bring damnation, will bring the wrath of God down. Now, in order to develop some background for this, we should spend a little time and look at how God treats the Sabbath days. And let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to spend a little bit of time in the New Testament first and try to discover something more about the Sabbath day. We do know that in the Ten Commandments, God, and we looked at that in our last study, that God declared that, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and the seventh day is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Neither thou nor any of thy servants nor their animals that are under thy care are to do any work on the Sabbath day. And God gives us a reason, two great reasons. Remember, one of the reasons was that God rested from his work of creation on the seventh day. And the second big reason was that I have taken you out of Egypt. And we found that in Deuteronomy chapter 5. I have taken you out of Egypt and brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, and therefore you are to keep this Sabbath day. Well, how can we begin to really get meaning into this? And then we find, when we go to Matthew 12, it gets more puzzling. Because in Matthew 12, we read in verse 1, at that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn. Now, incidentally, this again is really astounds me, because the fact is this word Sabbath day is a plural word. In the Greek language, it is a plural word. Why the translators translated it as a singular word, you'll have to ask them, because I don't know. I have no idea, because it's not good translation. If a word in the original was in the plural, it has to be translated in the plural. If a word in the original were language was singular, it's got to be translated as a singular word, even though it may not make sense in the context. It only emphasizes, well, okay, then that's a verse that requires a lot more study than I thought. Maybe there's something hidden within that verse. Well, as a matter of fact, when we read this correctly, And at that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. Right offhand, we say that isn't even a very good sentence. It should have said maybe, and at that time, Jesus went through the Sabbath, on the Sabbath through the corn, and each day they plucked corn or something of that nature. But it's plural. And then when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, "Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath." But he said unto them, "Have ye not read what David did when he was a-hungered, and they went, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, 'I will have mercy and not sacrifice,' ye would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day." Well, you know, we read this and it gets more complicated. What in the world did the fact that David ate of the showbread, what did that mean? What did that mean? Let's go back to 1 Samuel chapter 21 and pick up that incident. Pick up that incident. We're going to have to just spend a little bit of time with this in order to develop it correctly. Remember that Saul wants to kill David. Saul wants to kill David, and finally it gets so bad that Jonathan, who is the son of Saul and who had become a very intimate friend of David, warned David that Saul was going to kill him, and so David fled. David fled. And so we read in 1 Samuel, in verse 42 of 1 Samuel 20, "And Jonathan said to David, 'Go in peace,'" that is, "flee for your life," really, is what the context is all about, "'for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, The Lord be between me and thee, and between my seed and thy seed forever.' And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city." All right. Now he flees, and then came David. This is verse 1 of 1 Samuel 21. "Then came David to Nob, to Ahimelech the priest. And Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, 'Why art thou alone, and no man with thee?' And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, 'The king hath commanded me a business, and hath sent me unto me, and has said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed servants in such and such a place. Now, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what there is present.' And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women.' And David answered the priest and said unto him, 'Of a truth, women have been kept from us about 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel.' So the priest gave him hallowed bread," that is, this was the show bread, "for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away." Now, let me explain for just a moment. If we go back to Leviticus chapter 24, Leviticus 24, there God describes the showbread. He speaks about it in a number of places. But in Leviticus chapter 24, we read in verse 5 how God describes this showbread that was in the temple. "And thou shalt take fine flour," this is verse 5, this is verse 5, God's command, "thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes thereof, 2 tenths deals shall be in one cake, and thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put pure frankincense upon each roe, and it may be on the bread for a memorial, even an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant, and it shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a personal statute. Okay, now in other words, let me just paraphrase this a moment. Included in the temple, and at this time the ark was in this place where Ahimelech was, probably in the city of Nob, and it had been taken out of Shiloh. The tabernacle had been destroyed, remember, and so it isn't actually the temple here. It actually is the place where the ark was, and where there was a big contingent of priests there, and Ahimelech apparently was in charge of the priests. And there they had the showbread, and each week the priests were to bake 12 loaves, 12 cakes, and they were to be put out in the holy place on a table in two rows of six. And at the end, and every Sabbath day, they were to bake an additional 12 loaves, and they take these 12 loaves off, and that would be food for the priests. The priests were to eat it. Notice it. Look, it says here, it shall be Aaron's and his sons, verse 9. All right, now here comes David. David is fleeing from Saul, and he has some servants, maybe one or two or three servants with him. He certainly does not have a bodyguard. He doesn't even have any weapons. Later on it shows up, because he is fleeing in a big hurry. And he is hungry. And so he asks Ahimelech if he's got any food. And there was no food in there except the showbread. And so David asks him for 5 of the loaves. And Jesus is making reference to this. And he does so not only in Matthew chapter 12, but also in Luke chapter 6. In other words, this is a big deal somehow. It's a very important thing that is going on. And Jesus is calling attention to this, that this would have been the Sabbath when David was there, because notice in Leviticus 20 or in 1 Samuel chapter 21, let's go back to that again. 1 Samuel 21, we read there in 1 Samuel 21 that in verse 6, so the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread that was taken before him, the Lord, it was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. In other words, it must have been a Sabbath day when David came there. But that's not really the important point. Why did God make reference to this? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Why did God make... Well, first of all, before we do that, you're going to ask a question, and I might as well face that question. Is David lying here? Yeah, that's a very quick question that comes into our minds when Ahimelech asks him, why are you here all alone? You don't have a bodyguard. David was famous. Remember, he was the one that they had been speaking of. Saul had killed his thousands, and David his 10,000s, and he had been appointed into a high place in the army of Saul. He was a very famous man. And here he comes, fleeing. He has no weapons, and he must have had a couple of servants with him, but he has no soldiers with him, no bodyguard of any kind. And so Ahimelech is frightened. First of all, he may have heard rumors that Saul was trying to kill David. Certainly, that was kind of evident by this time, the enmity between Saul and that Saul had for David. And so he asks, why are you here? And then David answered in verse 2, the king hath commanded me a business, that is a task, and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed servants to such and such a place. Well, now, is David telling a lie here? This is off the subject a little bit, but it's not off the subject of the Bible. And anytime we look at any verse in the Bible, we can always ask, why did God say this, or what is the import of this? Well, now, the fact is that it wasn't King Saul who had appointed a task to David. What king had appointed a task? The Lord God himself. Remember that a few years earlier, who had become anointed king? David. David had become anointed king. We read about that in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We go back to 1 Samuel 16. We read in verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And this was the one that the time when David was anointed king. However, he obviously had been he knew that he had to wait upon God's timetable, and he's not going around announcing everywhere, I am the king, because that would start a rebellion, an instant rebellion. And so his task was to be king. But the king had effectively told him, don't tell anybody. That is, it was known because his brethren knew it, and Ahimelech probably knew it, and Jonathan knew it, and you know there were others that had begun to know it, but as far as David is concerned, no, it is secret. It's something I don't talk about, but this is because of the task that I have. I am now. He's not giving all the details that he's fleeing from Saul, and God has His program. He has His servants that. Wherever they will come from, God, in other words, he's really leaving it all the way up to God. I don't think we have to look at 1 Samuel 21, David's answer, as if he is telling an untruth. I think that he is telling an absolute truth, that he is in the business of doing God's will. And the present situation is he's got to get away from Saul, because Saul wants to kill him, and if Saul killed him, that would frustrate God's plan that he was to be king. And so I think that was very illegitimate. But now he's asking for the showbread. Now some argue, well, because he was anointed king, he had a right to ask for the showbread. Well, I don't think we have to go down that line. Let's go back to Matthew 12. Let's see what Jesus said there. Matthew 12. He said, have ye not read what David did when he was hungry? I'm reading verse 3, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests. All right, now, Christ here is making a point. The point is that these ceremonial laws were not moral laws. They were ceremonial laws, and they served a purpose, but you have to think them out, what that purpose is. According to a first reading of 1 Samuel of Leviticus 24, let's go back to Leviticus 24, when we immediately look at Leviticus 24, in verse 9, this showbread shall be Aaron's and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offerings of the Lord. made by fire by a personal, by a perpetual statute. Now, had God declared anywhere in the Bible that this showbread could not be eaten by someone else? Now, there's an implication that that's what he said, and that's, of course, the way they understood it. But in actuality, when David asked for some of that showbread, there's no law that God had stipulated anywhere that a common person could not eat that showbread, and certainly not someone who was anointed king and the subjects that came there. That's the first principle. Second principle is that this showbread was baked by the priests. Now, that already was a violation of the Sabbath day, to bake showbread. And in fact, Jesus makes reference to that, and we'll develop that a little further in a moment, makes reference to that in the next verse in Matthew 12. He says in verse 5, "Or have ye not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?" Now, what was the law of the Sabbath? Remember, the man who picked up a few sticks was put to death. That's how rigorous the law was. Yet here, remember we read in Leviticus 24 that each Sabbath day they were to replace the showbread. Well, that meant they had to bake it on the Sabbath day. So there was already something going on here that by God's other commands that indicated that we have to look at these laws very, very carefully and not read more into them than there is. It is true that the people could not do any work of any kind on the Sabbath day, but the priests, they had to bake the showbread on the Sabbath. Every Sabbath, they had to replace the showbread. Now, more than that, they baked the cakes. Now, what are they a picture of when they made the cakes? They're a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life, isn't he? He is the one who has provided the bread by which we get our spiritual nourishment. And so here comes David with his servants, and they are hungry. A picture of us being spiritually hungry, and so is it proper for us to be spiritually fed by what Christ has done the work for? You see the whole Sabbath picture again? The work was done by the priests. The work was done by the priests as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was done on the Sabbath day because that seventh day Sabbath represented the fact that Christ did all the work and we do none of the work. And David is there with his servants representing any of us who become believers, that we feed on the bread that Christ has done all the work to produce, which was namely himself. Now do you see how God is through this account of Matthew 12, he is expanding the meaning of the seventh day Sabbath, so that we, while it looked like David was profaning the Sabbath, and so far as the Jews saw it, it was unlawful what he was doing, but Christ, who is insisting a little later that he is the Lord of the Sabbath, and in Mark chapter 2, he says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God is indicating that this whole thing has to be understood very carefully and to get the spiritual meaning of it. Otherwise, it just becomes a nothing. It has no point at all. And so he's showing here that the seventh day Sabbath was violated by the priests, but it looked like David was violating it because he was not a priest, But it was a beautiful picture of the fact that Christ, represented by the priest, baked the showbread on the Sabbath day, on the day when the common people could not do any work, and made it available so that we can eat of that on the Sabbath day. Now, do you see how it all ties together?